Okay, so we are all right. So we finished Reish Sadi Ches last time. We are on to Simon Reish Sadi Tes. So, but neither of you, I assume, went to the Shatnez demonstration at LMS on Sunday. Was that were you able to? I forgot about it. But anyways, so we're still sort of in the theoretical stage here in Reish Sadi Tes. But it is a interesting sugya nonetheless. The Reish Sadi Tes tells it. Remember last week? So last week we learned, right, that the prohibition of shatness is linen and wool and linen, right? Which, and wool is defined as wool of a sheep, not of a sheep or a ram, and not any other animal. So here we say tzemer rechalim v'tzemer gemalim. So let's say you have the wool ram and you have the wool of camel. So she'irvan ze'im ze, and then they get mixed with one another. V'tavim yachad, and you spin them together. So the Torah says, im harov meharachalim, o afilu mechsal mechsa, chashuv kakulu rachalim. If you have rov from the rachalim, or even if it's 50-50 from the rachalim, from the goats, so that's considered to be rachal thread. V'aser im pishtan. V'im harov mehagmalim, but if the rove is from the camels, as shel harachalim batel umutter im hapishtan. So then that's considered to be camel wool. So even though there is a lot of sheep wool and ram wool that is contained within it, so long as it is majority camel wool, that is sufficient. That actually is mevatel the sheep and ram wool. So v'chein, okay, so far, v'chein adin bepishtim, the same thing would be the other way around, the kanbus. If you have linen and silk, she'irvan be, we've been translating kanbus as silk, right? The hemp, the hemp thing, right?
Canvas. No?
You can say canvas, okay. So bepishtim v'canvas, right? She'irvan biyachad, that got mixed together. Im harov pishtan asurim. If most of it is the linen, so then it would be prohibited with tzemer. Im ruvan canvas mutrim tzemer. But if it's majority canvas, so then it would be mutter with the wool. Hilk, period. Okay, so that is that's surprising a little bit, but not so surprising. Meaning, okay, so now we have a thread. The thread is considered to be whatever the thread is. The majority, that's what it is, and it's therefore it's mevatel the thing that is less than the majority. Now the more surprising part is the next line, where the Torah says hilkach. Therefore, mishnis ariv lo tzemer im apishtim. Let's say you have wool and linen mixed together. Now it has not been. They've not been formed together. They've not been. It's just you have a pot of wool and linen threads or something like that. Maybe that's not even the right term. Wool and linen, like when you wool and linen of wool and linen shearings or something, right? Maybe min acher, bring another type in umarvo imahem and mix it with them umavatel echar mehen, and therefore, and you will thereby be mevatel one of them. Okay, so you can then take the majority of something, put it in there, and that would nullify whichever one is the minimal one. Okay, so far so good. Now this is it is surprising, but
so isn't that like by kashrut, like adding stuff afterwards and
yes,
okay,
right, yes. The only problem is the problem is that in kashrut that is not allowed. Right, you can't take you can't have a little bit of basar and chalav that's mixed together and say, oh, okay, I'll nullify the milk by putting in more meatballs on it. Right, that it doesn't work that way. So, right, why not? So that's what we call a concept called in mevatlin isur l'chadchila, that you're not allowed to actively go ahead and nullify something. So that seems to be what it's advocating here, isn't this? Doesn't this seem to be a problem of in mevatlin isur l'chadchila? So hold that thought. We'll get back to that. The Torah continues here. V'lo shayach b'hu bittel ela kodem ariga. We're not going to consider it bittel except for if it's before it was threaded. Before it was, I think, orig is woven, actually. Threaded. Aval la'achar she'asa mehen beged. But once you've already made a clothing out of it, so lo shayach b'hu bittel. So then you can no longer be mevatel it. Right? So if you, you can no longer at that point add in more camel wool above the ram wool and say, okay, now I want to be mevatel the ram wool. It doesn't work that way. Right? Echa mehem bimin acher, sheafilu b'chut echad shel pishton, she'arug bishel tzemer, nasekulo guf echad. Because even if you take just one strand of pishton, one strand of linen, and you weave that into a wool garment, you've made the entire thing a shatis garment. Right? Beged guf echad shel iser. And even if you make the clothing from camel wool, and you mix in one string of rachalim, of ram wool, but right next to it is chut echad mishal pishtim, so then kulo aser. So then that's going to be considered to be aser. Okay? So hold this. Yeah, let's just finish off one or two more sentences. Hilkach beged shasi shel meshi va'erev shel pishim. So therefore, if you have a garment where you have the shasi and erev is the term used for a cross, right? So you have the cross. You know, one direction is entirely Okay, so if the woof is entirely linen and the warp is entirely silk, so then aser latafro, you would not be able to tie into it imhatzemer afilu imrubu shalmeshi. Even if the majority is silk, so therefore the silk in theory should be outweighing, should be nullifying the wool. No, if you know that the wool and linen are actually touching one another, so that's going to be a problem. Then he adds in the Torah one more line here. Avalim asa beged mitzemer gemalim va'arug bo chut echad shel tzemer. If you have camel wool and you put in one string of camel of ram wool, uvamakom acher arug chut shel pishtan she'enu etzel hatzemer mutter. And you have in another area pishtan that is not near the tzemer, so then that's going to be mutter. This actually played a role in the shiur we gave on Parsha Zachor about the. About the potential ribbis, potential shatnis derabanan that was worn by Mordechai and perhaps his mutter to be, that we maybe wear in Purim. So that's that might have to do with that. So, okay, so that is the Torah straight up. So the Torah gives us this concept of bittel. Where did the Torah get that from? So if you take a look here in the Beis Yosef, back to the first page on page Shin Lamed. So the Beis Yosef says, yeah, it's actually a Mishnah in the last parak of Maseches Kalayim, and the Rambam there says, if you have the rove of gemalim, as long as the majority is gemalim, you're allowed to mix that with the pishon. If they should suras hakol suras semer gemalim, because really the whole thing is considered to be camel wool. And we don't have to worry about the wool that is mixed in. I'm feeling that lishel tzemer. We don't have to concern about the wool, the ram wool that is mixed in. That's not considered to be ram wool. Therefore, it says the Beis Yosef, right? Masha hilkach. Therefore, if you mix it together, you're allowed to come and be mevatel them. So that's actually beferish Yerushalmi. So Yerushalmi Sham, that's a Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yona Ola Bar Shmuel, b'shem Rabbi Elazar, tzemer upishtim shetirfan. If you have tzemer upishtim that got mixed together, but it was not yet sewn, that's the key, usser. So you're not allowed to usser. Ketzad, what should he do? So maybe litra va'od tzemer gemalim mevatlin, and therefore me mevatlin. Because of Arash, so perektes, denida, that is permissible. Okay, so that is the Is there a echo?
Echo. Not right now, you're echoing.
Right, how about now? Put on mute, turn it off. Hello, am I good now?
Yeah, you're good now. Just happened for a second.
Okay, so that's a pretty interesting thing. I mean, even though the Yerushalmi's cases, even though they were mixed together already, right? You had these mixed threads of wool and mixed threads of linen that were together. You're allowed to go ahead and be mevatel one of them. Now, one thing I'm not sure is an example that keeps being given is camel being mevatel the wool, and silk being used to be mevatel the linen. I'm not sure why you needed to do it that way. Meaning, you need to be mevatel wool with wool. Like, do you need to be mevatel ram wool with another type of wool? That's the example that's given. I but I didn't see it discussed as to whether that is required. To, I mean, you need to be mvatled with its own min. Yeah?
I might give a stronger example.
What?
It's a stronger example. You can even be mvatled with wool. Well, it's not the wool. You certainly could be mvatled with, I don't know, cotton. But maybe not.
Yes and no. I mean, that might be. On the other hand, it might be more recognizable if it is being mevatel and cotton or something. I mean, that might be the claim the other way. And what about if it's something that's not natural? I mean, we sort of don't recognize, like, unnatural threads, like polyester. Right? Polyester comes from oil, right? So we don't really recognize that as being a halachic. I mean, like, what exactly... What exactly do we recognize it for with regards to being a garment, meaning in terms of it being chayv and tzitzis and things like that, right? So that's a little bit unclear. But anyways, that's the example that is given here. Now, on the page of the tour, if you look at the drisha at the bottom, so the drisha raises this issue of ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. Right there, he says perish kanbus otzemer gemalim. Right, so the drisha there, number aleph. On page Shin Lamed Aleph, so he says, "Perish kambus utzemer gemalim umavatel echan mehen." Right, so you're going to take this canvas or tzemer gemalim and you'll mevatel one of them. V'had the kaimalon in mevatlin isla l'chadchila. He says, "Aye, but what about that? You're not allowed to go ahead and be mevatel these things." He says, "Lo shayich ze el be'isser shenisar beheter." The only time that that's an issue is when you actually have an isser being mixed with a heter, meaning to. Well, Basar V'chalev is a little bit of an exception to the rule, right? But if you have chalev or non-kosher meat that gets mixed in with a non-kosher into kosher meatballs, right? And you drop a non-kosher meatball in there, or maybe that's not the best example, a sauce from non-kosher meatball. So as long as it's 60 times, that's okay. So let's say it's not 60 times, you're allowed to take more and add that in. So no. So he says, yeah, that's because in mevatel isur chachil is when you have something that's usser, right? And you can't add on heter in order to be mevatel it. But where both sides are mutter, aval heter shenisar beheter, by de taruv zeh nesar lo shayich babitel. And by this mixture, it will become usser lo shayich babitel. So then we're not going to assume that the bittel is not relevant to this discussion. So therefore, there's no isser of ein mevatlin isser lecharchila. That is that's the starting point of the drisha. So actually, this brings to mind, right, the famous believe it or not Rav Belsky psak with regards to the dairy the dairy non dairy creamer, right? Except for the Hamisher brands, right? All the non-dairy creamer is rated as dairy, right? Because it has cassian or something, some chemical. What?
Cassian.
Okay, so it has some kind of milk that's in it, and not only is there milk in it, right? It's even more than shishim of the whatever the creamer is, right? So if you buy those regular. That you see in all the rest stops, right? So that's more than shishim is actual real dairy in it. So we actually have this issue right now because there is a vegan bakery that came to us for hashgacha, a franchise. So we went through all their things and it came out, is there today actually, and they had four ingredients that had an OUD on them. Right, but it's a vegan bakery, and all the ingredients have to be have to be cleared by headquarters. Right, you can't eat. There's a lot of control, and they only could use certain ingredients that headquarters said is okay. So I sent these all to the OU. It says, are these really dairy or are they dairy equipment? So they sent me back already. They said one of them they asked for they needed a better picture of or something. One of them they said is dairy equipment, and then they have these two ice cream things that are real dairy. So I'm like. Okay, like, what do I do with this information? Like, I told the guy there, listen, I don't really care if you're vegan or not. Like, that is, like, it doesn't bother me. But I'm going to have to put on your certificate dairy, at least for these products that you're using this for. I have to put up that this is, that it's D. So they, whatever, so you have to figure out exactly how to phrase that because it doesn't look too great.
But why are they allowed to use it?
I don't know. That's not my problem. There's a couple of things that they might that might be graded as vegan that, you know, it might have this. It might have, I mean, he told me some things the other way also. I sent him because they use almond milk. They have coffee there also, and they use almond milk because they can't have regular milk. So I said, but it's on the other side of the counter. Don't maybe the vegans can only give hashgacha on one side of the counter, but maybe you could be makel on the other side. But no, they said that's the rules. They give the vegans give a hechsher to the whole store. So they use almond milk. So I told the guy, but we have there are these Hamish milk, these Hamish creamers that all the caterers use that are actually parv. So I sent him a few pictures because I found them in the store later. So he said he looked at the ingredients. He said, no, this actually might be considered dairy by the vegans, so he had to get it cleared.
Why? Like what?
I don't know. I didn't get into the lumdus. I can't. I don't know. The guy himself is not the owner. It's very the owner is not like a religious vegan. Like he told me he. I asked him why do you open a vegan the place is called Sinaholic, which is like a chain. It's getting bigger and bigger. So I asked him, like, why had you get into vegan stuff? He's like, well, I was looking into opening a barbecue joint, but all these places already have a barbecue joint. So I found this franchise about vegan cinnamon buns. I'm like, oh, so you're only in this for the business? He's like, yeah. I'm going across the street to the barbecue joint for dinner. So, anyways.
Well, does that make him like suspect because he's not really he himself?
Right. Also, not my responsibility. I'm only giving the kosher certification, not the vegan certification. So back to the creamer. So the regular non-Hamish creamers all have a majority casein in it. So when Ravelsky was ill, so they actually collected a bunch of believe it or not, Ravelsky psakim, and they sent them out, and they were actually printed in RGJ journals. So my favorite one was this one, where he said that you're allowed to take non-dairy, even though you're fleishiks. I mean, you can't have it with meat, but if you are fleishiks, you're waiting to become milchiks, you're allowed to have a cup of coffee with non-dairy creamer, even though it has caseinate in it. Why? He said because the yes, it's true, it's more than 1/60th of the creamer, but when you take the creamer and you put it into the coffee, so the caseinate is less than 1/60th of the coffee. That was the psak. So wait a second. So right away everybody's like, well, wait a second. E mevatel nisur chachila, right? You're not allowed to go and purposely be mevatel, right? How is that okay? To which Ravelsky said, what do you mean? The isser is ein mevatlin isser l'chachila. There's no isser. You're just making dairy coffee, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right? The problem is for you to drink it. But while you're making it, there's nothing that's usser. Now, when it's time to drink it, so now you look at this and you say, oh, well, is this dairy or is it not? I said, well, there was dairy, but the dairy is batel, right? And it already happened already. And by the time that you drink it, so therefore it's already nullified and therefore it is mutter. That was Velsky's psak. So that actually was so that sounds a lot like this, right? Where the Drisha says it's not a problem of Ein Mevatel Nisur Chachila when it comes to these threads because there's nothing usser about it. All you have right now are just some wool and linen strands hanging around, but they haven't been woven together, so there's no isser that's involved. So therefore, you can go ahead and be Mevatel it because they're both sides are mutter. Now, the Drisha turns around and says, but wait a second, we have another thing where the isser is a taruvus of two mutter things, right, which is pretty prominent, and that is basar v'chalav, right? Milk and meat are also both mutter on their own. It's only usser when they get mixed together. So it continues the Drisha and says, right, v'kasha da basar v'chalav gamkein heter beheter v'nase b'taruva so isser, right? And they become usser by being mixed together. V'afilu achi usser l'hosiv alav ulvatlo. You're not allowed to add on, add more chicken soup in order to be mevatel the little bit of milk that got in there. So v'tzarech lomar, says the Drisha, the ho'el v'adayin einan tevuyin lo mach shavinan le'isser. He says no. Before it has even been threaded. What's the word? Spun. There you go. Before it has even been spun, so lo machshavin on leisser had tzemer vapishdan is not considered to be beisser tzemer and pishdan umishum hachi, and therefore it is mutter. And that is the drisha zara. He continues on and says gamkein lechalik the hasam ikar iser the kapit alav who al yedei taruvus, that there the iser is when it is mixed, as the pasuk says lo tvashel gadi v'kan afshe gamkein ikar taruvaso aydei erev hainu dafka achar shenasa kol echa bifnei atzmo chut. He says, but anyways, here the iser only is once you've made them into strings, meaning you're still two steps removed when it comes here, right? First you have to make it into strings, and then you have to make it into shatnas. So because you're so far removed, therefore it is maybe it's permissible. Vayoser Neri adds in the Vasar V'chalv Kishabatal Bashishim Havi Ain Kan Lotam Velo Mamish. Vafta Lapamim Nishar Davar Muat Lo Nichale Bekach. He says, when it comes to Basar V'chalav, when you're Mevatel B'shishim, there's nothing left. Lo tam v'lo mamash, there's nothing there anymore. And even though there might be a little bit, lo nichale, it doesn't matter to you. V'reyu ki'ilu eno, it's as if it's not there. As opposed to here, b'nis arif chut shatnes b'beged, da'al kol panim ha'beged nase b'nigmar gam al yidei osu chut. The beged is completed by that chut. Although, shoot, I'm not sure why he's... That's a mark against this. All right, we'll get back to that point that the Rishon makes later on with regards to the Tas in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So anyway, so that is the Imavatl Nisrochil. That is, I mean, you can't argue on it. That is mutter. It's a Beferish Yerushalmi Meseches Kalayim that says that it's okay. Now the part that is then a problem is that once it is threaded to mix in even a tiny amount at that point, so then it is. Bottle, it's not bottle. It can't be bottle. Even if there's a tiny thread that got mixed in, that is considered to be shatnez, no matter what. I mean, once it already is made into those threads. That's what's pointed out here in the... yeah, that's what the Beis Yosef here continues on the top of Shin Lamed Aleph, where he says, right, so Sefta, right, Kasva Rashva, 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 Murim, Bizman Shehevi, Pishtam, Vitzemer, Vitarfan, Zebizem, and such mixed together. Avala Osa, Chaluk, Mitzemer, Gemalim, Kulo, but if you make a wool sweater, right? A camel wool sweater. Okulu tzemer arnavim, rabbit wool. Va'arag bo chut echad shel tzemer b'tzadze. V'chut echad shel pishtan b'tzadze. Aser, right? But then if you mix in one thread here and one thread there, that's going to become aser. Perish kishashnei achutim shel tzemer v'el shel pishtan ze itzel ze. About when they're actually touching each other. Avalim ze b'tzad echad shel chalak shekulu tzemer gemolim b'ze b'tzad echa acher mutter. But if they're opposite ends, meaning you have a camel wool garment and you put on a little bit of sheep wool on one side and a little bit of linen all the way on the other side of the thing, and they're not touching each other, so that's going to be mutter, at least according to the way we read it here. There's a little bit of we'll see. The Rambam is machmer on that, but we'll get to that shortly. All right, so that's probably enough here in the Tur Beis Yosef. Take a look in the Shulchan Aruch. So
I just clarify one thing. I think you said this last time, but I wasn't clear that I got it. If the thread itself is composed of wool and linen, that's clearly not allowed. But if you weave them together, that's the oraisa or the rabbanon.
So that's a machlokas. That's actually reish. That's the next. Simin shin, which maybe we'll get to. But that's a machlokas. That's the Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and carries on. All the Rishonim take sides on that. Do they have to be, for it to be an Issur D'oraisa, does it need to be each shatnez stands for Shua Tavoi Venos, right? That's how they learn it out. So it's called spun and woven and mixed, or so I forget what the terms are. So does that mean each stage needs to have wool and linen there, which is the position of Rashi, meaning it needs to have, for it to be an Issur D'oraisa, it needs to have spun wool and linen, and then woven wool and linen. Right, you need to have both going on, or is it sufficient for it to have a fully spun wool thread and a fully spun linen thread and have them mixed together? But that's only for D'oraisa din, not for D'rabbanan din. I mean, Vatlan Israel Chachila would apply for Dini D'rabbanan as well anyways, so... Okay. So I just heard my echo. Okay, hopefully that will give us another breather for a little bit. So Okay, so the so if you go to so in the Shulchan Aruch Reish Sadi Tes Aleph here, so this should be familiar. So Tzemer Rachalim, Tzemer Gemalim, Chiyotzi Bo Shatarfon Zebezeh. If you have the Tzemer of sheep and the Tzemer of camels, right, that get mixed together, the Tavu Behen Tavoi Im Haya Hachetzi Miharachalim Hareya Kol Ketzemer. So if you mix them to if you spin them together. So if part of it is from the rachal, if half of it is from the rachalim, that's considered to be wool. Varehu kalayim ima pisham. V'im haya harov me'agmalim. But if the majority is camel, mutr la'arvo ima pisham. Mifnei shetzuras hakol tzuras tzemer gemalim. So we assume that the whole thing is really camel wool. Ve'in choshen l'nimus shel tzemer hamuravim bem. We don't even have to worry about the threads of sheep wool that got mixed in. Sounds like even though they're touching the linen, because they're not considered to be wool threads. If you have wool things that you make clothing, you can weave them with pishtan. We don't have to worry about the wool, the sheep wool. Bichlal chut hapishdan shetafru bo shuri batul b'miyutan. Even though there is some there because it's batul b'miyut. V'chein hakanvus v'hapishdan. Similarly, the other way, right? Shetarfan zebeze imrov me'akanvus mutr la'aruk hatavoy mehem imachutei tzemer. If the majority is kanvus, so then that would be permitted to mix it with wool. V'imayu mechsel amechsa. If it's half and half, so then we have to rule usser, right? So tai goes to the usser party. Hilgach mishni sarvelut tzemer impishdan mevi min acher. So therefore, if you actually have a mixture of tzemer u'pishim, take something else and mix it in. He says, however, this idea of being mevatel is only before it turns into threads or strings. Aval acher shenasu chutim ein l'kalayim shir afilu chut kol shehu. There's no shir anymore. Even a tiny string would be a problem. Shel tzemer beged gadol shel pishdan o shel pishdan betzemer aser. Right, and it would be aser the other way around. So that is the that's the statement in the Shulchan Aruch there. So continues the So continues the Ramah, and he says, by the way, v'afilu nevad hachut v'lo yadanu mekoman. He said, why would I say that this is a problem? Because I could see it right there. I see a linen thread in there. It's right over there, and it's touching the wool. How can you say that it's batel? So the Ramah says, not only that, but even if we don't know where it is, it got lost in there someplace, and we can't find it, still, lo shayich be bitl v'aser. We're not going to say at that point, oh, well, if we can't find it, so then it's batel, and we're going to rule that to be aser. Then he continues, the Ramah quotes this, the part that we quoted before, Beget, if you have a garment, she'ashasi, shel meshi, ba'iru, shel pishon, we have the warp and the woof, one's wool and one's linen, silk and one's linen. Usla tafrani matzemer, you still can't sew with semer. Afal pi sherubu shomeshi, even if it's majority meshi. V'lachein usher lasos talisos mi megadim shekorim pirchot. I don't know, you can't make talisim out of garments that are the pirchots, as it was known. Ki ha'arev shel pishdan v'havi kalayim shel tzitzis, because that is because there you're mixing with pishdan and it ends up being kalayim with the tzitzis. Because as we said, the tzitzis have to be wool, so then the wool tzitzis are then going to be mixed with these linen garments, even though it's only half linen garments. Still, because it's full linen threads, you already have the problem at that point. Okay, so that is sif aleph. So comes the shach here. And this gets into a little bit more heavy-duty yirdei. Here it says, the shach says, v'lo amrinan sheibatel berov, right? Once you already have the threads, this is going on the lo shayach be'bitel v'isser. Even if you lost the thread, it's still going to be usser, and you can't say batel. Why not? So comes the shach and says, v'lo amrinan sheibatel berov, why? Mi'achar she'ein mekomo nikar, because you don't know where it is, the lo shayach bitel berov ela isser shenis ariv beheter. Once again, we have this concept, right? The only time you could say batel is when you have mutter falling into, when you have mutter and usser mixed, right? Aval heter shenis ariv beheter, v'ayidei taruvasam nesar lo shayich be bitl. right? But if you have heter that's mixed with heter, and by mixing them together, then you're causing the iser, you can't say bittul in that case. And the truth is, fundamentally, logically, it makes sense. Meaning, how are you going to say that the only time you violate basar v'chalav d'oraisa is if it is mixed 50-50, right? So we don't assume that, right? By basar v'chalav, we assume tam in each. We don't require, otherwise, you're always going to have one side being mevatel the other side, right? You're never going to be able to come up with exactly 50-50, right? I think we pass an EF Charlotte Samsim that you can't be exact. We're not, we assume we're not totally exact with our measures, right? So that can't be. So therefore, it's not going, by mutter and mutter, we can't say butl barov. It doesn't make sense when the iser is the taruvus itself. You only have one piece of aser. Fine. So that's his opening position. By the way, this is very reminiscent of the another concept that we've learned in the past of davar she'eshlo matirin, right? Something that is going to become mutter. So we paskin, the Gemara tells also Maseches Beitza, right in that area where Ein Mevatel Israel Chachila is talked about, is davar she'eshlo matirin, that something is going to become mutter, so we assume that that's not going to be batel either. Right? So this is actually very relevant in Hilchos Yontif, the case in Maseches Beitza is that you have an egg that was born on Yontif and now it's muksa. So, and now it's muksa, but then it gets mixed in with all the other eggs. So do we say that, well, it's now batel because it's mixed in with the other eggs? So we say, yeah, well, maybe it would be batel, but because it's a davar she'eshlo matirin, it's going to be mutter anyways, meaning it's going to be mutter once Shabbos, once Yontif is over, so this egg is going to be mutter. So therefore, we say that it can't be batel, right? So why is it that works? So and by the way, there are some who assume that is the problem with chametz bePesach. That why is it that chametz is batel is never batel, right? We assume even a chametz bMashehu mixed in a aser is the thing. So one answer we gave between Mincha and Ma'ariv just now, right? And that is because the whole concept of shiurim might only be a post Matan Torah concept, while the concept of the iser of chametz was given before Matan Torah. So therefore, maybe there is no. That might be one of the reasons that there is no batel, meaning there's no this whole all that is later and this is before. But anyways, so on the very first daf in Maseches Pesachim, it asks why is it that Tosos, I think there, asks why is it that chametz is not batel at all, and Tosos says because it is a davar she'esh lo matirin, because chametz is going to become mutter once Pesach is over, right? So therefore, that's why it doesn't get batel. So that's possibility, but anyways, the Ran Maseches Adarim, when there it talks about davar she'esh lo matirin, so there he develops the concept that that the reason why it's not batel is because in order for something to be batel, it needs to have what when I was in Rav Sobolovsky's shir, he termed hisnagdust. Yeah, so it was. You need to have a conflict in order for there to be batel. You need to have a conflict. And so therefore, because there's a conflict, so then one side is able to overwhelm the other side. But if both sides are going to be mutter, so then there's no conflict, and therefore you can't come to this. That seems to be what the Shach here is saying, right? That the Shach says that that you're not going to have right, bittel barov doesn't exist, except for an iser that was mixed with a heter. But when you have heter that was mixed with a heter, right, where meaning the linen string falls someplace into the wool blanket or something, so that you can't say that. So both sides are mutter. So both sides are mutter. So then one side is not going to overwhelm the other. So he continues on here and says, so our Rush Raposkim Vim Beis Yosef Ataz Kasa, and that's the position of the Rush, etc. So he says, the low dummy lebasar v'chalav. But what about basar v'chalav? Basar v'chalav, we do assume that there is a concept of bittel, right? If you only have a drop of chicken soup that falls into a drop of milk falls into the big chicken soup, it is bittel. It's mutter b'mutter. So there he says, no. The kaimelin shebittel dahasam tam habasar o chalav mispashet v'nis ariv b'kulo ve'ein kan makom miyuchad le'iser vavi ke'ilu nevan mina olam. He says, because when it comes to basar and chalav, so the drop of milk that falls in, it's not one drop of milk that's floating around and we just assume that it's batel. It gets totally spread out. And to the point that not only is it spread out, but we consider it as if it is completely gone, right? It's batel, meaning the issue with basar v'chalev is the tam of the basar v'chalev, the taste of the basar v'chalev. So if the drop of chalav falls in, but it's less than 60th, it's as if it doesn't exist at all anymore. That's what the Shach here says. It's like it disappeared. But here, when it comes to the Shatnes, she'isr yeshlo mitzias b'makomo, it's still there, meaning the thread is still there. Baloni spashi, it's not like the thread disintegrates and gets, disappears over the entire thing. It's in the garment someplace. Elish ain anu makirna, so we just don't know where it is. Lo shayach bittel nearly ad kan lashon. That seems you can't have the concept of bittel anymore. So all of that really is the position of the Rush. However, comes the Shach here and says his vakasha. He says, I have a question on what he says. Kain havi le lataritz bekitzer del hachi lo bittel hacha kaven she iser yesh lo metzias the makomo. That, well, then why do you have to get into this whole fancy thing of, oh well, because it's both two sides of heter and you can't be mevatel one to the other. Just say, because when it comes to milk falling into a chicken soup, it gets spread out and disappears. But when it comes to a thread, the thread doesn't disappear. Shouldn't that just be enough? Why do you have to get into fancy lumdus about whether the taruvis, the mixture, is two mutter pieces or mutter and aser? Just say, this it doesn't disappear. He says, that's not true. He says, probably, because if you actually have a yavish and yavish iser, if you actually have a mixture of solid things, so then you would say it's batel. Right? Now, because basar v'chalav would be aser, even b'yavish b'yavish. Now, the only problem here is, I tried figuring out, what is a case of a mixture of basar v'chalav that's yavish and yavish? I don't think we have it. At first I was like looking around. I mean, yavish and yavish is two dry pieces, right? So the classic, classic yavish and yavish taruvis is you have, three pieces of meat. Two of them are kasher and one of them is nevela, and they get mixed together. So that's a yavish and yavish mixture, right? But by basar v'chalav, I don't think the concept exists.
What if you have powders?
But even that, I'm not sure we would...
Powdered milk and powdered chicken soup get mixed together,
right, but I'm not sure b'halacha we would call that a yavish v'yavish mixture. Meaning yavish v'yavish is not just whether they are chemically. I thank you, Dr. Feinstein. But we're not looking for a chemical definition of that. Right, we're talking about the concept. Meaning a yavish v'yavish mixture is talking about where it's identifiable. Right, the pieces remain identifiable as opposed to lach b'lach, which is where it just gets a big mixed kabbalah, right? Fifth grade physics, it was a mixture, a compound versus a, what's it called? When two elements mix. A compound, maybe a mixture versus a compound? Is that it?
Oh yeah, my gosh. That's right? That's a different thing.
Right, so I think a mixture versus a compound is probably more analogous to the to yavish v'yavish versus lach b'lach. Okay?
Right.
So you're not really going to come up with it with regards to yavish b'yavish. But we have some other examples, other possibilities of mixtures, of forbidden mixtures where both sides are mutter on their own. When they get mixed together, it becomes aser, right? What would be those examples? Right, of other forbidden mixtures. So those are the simanim that we just learned, right? The previous simanim, the issue of kalayim, of kilei in fields and things like that. So that also, both sides are mutter, and then you get mixed together, it becomes a problem. So here he says here, Ela tam baru umuvor b'divrei harash, uposkim delo dami lebasav chal lefi shahasam, ina iser ela machla she'itin tam. That's a tam issue. V'hilkach kishe, batul atam, batul iser. V'ashmetinan lehataz, divrei harash, v'aposkim elu, v'hilkach b'yavish nami, hare einkan iser kalayim. Even when you have it yavish, it's not going to be an iser of kalayim. Sh'nemar shehu gezeris hakasav lasar, belo tam, ela tam ha iser hu, v'yachel ha iser. Therefore, whatever is batel barov is mutter v'chein b'basav v'chalav nami v'do. So Actually, I had to read this through. Shem poskim elav hilchach biyavish nami hare inkan iser kalayim shneimar shehu gezeris hakasuv lesor belotam elatam ha iser hu the achel ha iser. Right. The issue is that of tam when it comes to basav v'chalav. So he says that's going to be the exception to the rule. But when it comes to kalayim of begadim, so therefore it's going to have to do with the threads that get mixed in. So quickly here, the Piskei Tshuva on the bottom. So first he quotes a couple of Ksam Sofers that discuss this, and he points out at the bottom for the part that I have underlined. He says Val Korchach Muchach Kesaris Halavush. That he the bittel iser beheter ein chiluk ben yavish lach mikomakum beheter yesh chiluk. He says the viyavish va'omid b'makomo kimo, for example, a beged sha'avibo kalayim lo bittel. In that case, it's not going to be bittel because the yavish is staying where it is. Aval, what about the following lach b'lach shemispashet v'nevad b'miyuto bittel, where it does get spread out, then it would be bittel. So, for example. The Efshar di Alfina Lami Basar Bachalov, Kakusha Sosus Yantav. I'm sorry. Early on in the Piskei Tshuva, I gotta run. But early on in Piskei Tshuva, he points out, well, what about the issue of a gate that breaks down between two fields where there's Kalayim, and it grows 1/60th? So what is that mixture? Is that a mixture of Yavish for Yavish, or is that a mixture of Lach Balach? So he suggests that's really a lach b'lach mixture, is what the Piskei Tshuva concludes, because it's something that is nispashet, right? If it's less than 1/200th that grows, it shouldn't be batel. Says, yeah, but it is batel because it is nispashet. It spreads out throughout the entire thing. So at the end of the day, we're saying it's nullified. Why is it nullified? It's nullified not because it's a small amount, but rather it's nullified because it gets spread out. And that's perhaps why the Shatnez case is different, because the Shatnez case, it's by definition Yavesh, and that thread is not getting spread out at all. So that is, all right, so finish that sif. Okay, and then you have the issue of these of this spread out garment, but okay, fine. So maybe I gotta run. We'll stop here, and I think we're on next week. I have my magia from Eretz Yisrael, who checks all the mezuzahs for me. So he's actually.